This is CICK News. Aurora Lee is on CICK News today to speak about the Northern BC Human Trafficking Coalition. She is the founder of the coalition, which includes a crime support worker, Indigenous leadership, and people with ministerial and social work backgrounds. Today, I'm sharing a portion of an interview which will be part of a story coming out of CICK later this year. The aim of this interview today is to alert the public about the coalition's goal to raise awareness and advocate for a more informed public.
The Northern BC Human Trafficking Coalition strives to increase resilience in Northern BC communities to protect from human trafficking. We do this through supporting changes in policy, increasing advocacy, offering education, and promoting awareness. We really want to see a central hub of support and services, whether that's knowledge resources for those that are community members, but also helping to bridge those gaps between what is being done and what needs to still be done. And oftentimes those that are working in these incredibly important fields and fields of protection and rendering services for safety can be quite siloed, and working together always creates a stronger community. And seeing that need in the North has been really why we've formed the coalition to begin with.
Currently, the coalition members represent areas of Prince George, Prince Rupert, Vanderhoof, and Fort St. James, with the aim to grow up and outward. Trafficking in the North might look a little different than how it's represented in reports, which are typically focused on metropolitan areas, according to Aurora. The coalition's purpose statement states that, quote, our geography, resource industries, highways, distance from services, and disproportionate impact on Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit peoples creates a response landscape that is uniquely ours.
I think that one of the most important things we can do is move beyond the stereotype that it always looks like being kidnapped by a stranger and taken across a border. Although like that can be there. Human trafficking also, it's in people's own community when it comes to sexual exploitation, forced labor. There's a lot of subtle coercion that happens with human trafficking. So trust building kind of can be established. Intimate relationships is often a bridgeway there. And, you know, when we see those that are the most at risk, it's those that honestly society has turned away from, and they are maybe transient youth, or they're, you know, at-risk youth, and they're not having those trusted adults they can turn to. So that's a really huge signifier to human traffickers.
Can you speak a little bit to that in the North and how that, where maybe that would be happening? You mentioned transient youth. We said children, like youth in care too.
Honestly, our statistics are just skewed because a lot of enforcement and even crime victim services, they don't necessarily see it as human trafficking. So the stats are skewed because it could be to them, well, this person just ended up in an unsafe environment for a while, dependent on drugs and in these relationships.
What about things like industry camps, man camps, and things like that?
Yeah.
Is there more of an uptick when...
I'm glad that you said that. And so a huge uptake of trafficked girls, supplying sex to those types of rotation shift work for men. And it's alarmingly high in those areas that have camp workers often coming back to the city.
Yeah, let's talk about resilient communities then. Who needs to be part of this conversation that isn't either at the table, either with the coalition or in policy talks?
I think that we need to have schools, even grade five, starting in grade five, obviously age appropriate to understand even consent and coercion. We need a consent culture basis in schools. There are consent culture initiatives and education down south. I have not seen it in the North, and it needs to be. You know, those youth have people in their lives, and to help them to feel supported, to support them, we need to support the supporters. That guilt builds resilience, right? Anyone who is a significant person, even your person down the street that is aware of happenings and isn't sure that they might be seeing something in the neighborhood, and what are those factors to watch out for? But also, you know what, business owners, storefronts, when somebody comes in, often people don't get left unattended. They have to go get their supplies or their stuff, and they get to go to the store or something like that. You know, sometimes people feel it in their gut, like something's off here. What can I do? What can people watch for in power dynamics, right? That often occur when somebody's being exploited under, like, beyond their will, right? And how can we show that we're a safe space for people if they needed to come to them, if they needed to reach out and say, hey, get away from their trafficker, and know that that store owner would have the competency or capacity to respond. And I'm not saying that that should all lie on civilians. I guess that's not the word, but partisans that may be under threat. And I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that the more equipped we are to see the signs and to be responsive to, and to even know where to go, is going to create a lot more safety.
Speaking of like warning signs, would you say that like the best resources then for business owners, individuals, civilians is to have the hotline numbers in their phone too, so that they can call, or to call 911? What would you say is like the best course of action?
Our first line of work is to have like a one pager that can be put up of what to do, how to respond, where to go. That's the same for all through Northern BC. We want that also just put up, like as a statement of this is what we do, not just, oh, it's in a file, a drawer somewhere, right?
What do you want people to take away from this conversation? One, about the coalition, and secondly, about raising their own awareness.
For the coalition, I think it's if you feel the call to be part of the coalition because of where you are positioned, please reach out to us. And even if you're a caring member of the community, because that's, you know, elders, knowledge keepers, storytellers. So it's not just if you're in a service role, right? But if you feel that your position and want to be part of the coalition, definitely reach out. Sometimes it can feel overwhelming when something is that scary, because it is. We can think that wouldn't happen to me. It's a way of coping with how scary it can be to look at the realities that some people face. And we can easily say that wouldn't happen to me. And we can victim blame. And that happens a lot. It's easy to be out of sight, out of mind, and turn away from. But in fact, if we turn towards it, all of us united, it wouldn't feel so scary and daunting. It would actually, I would hope, feel like determination, strength, proving to the young ones that they matter, that we got this, and hopefully see the levels of anxieties around human trafficking to decrease, right? Because the more we talk about it, the more it's going to bring up fear, but simultaneously we can mitigate that through uniting together stronger.
That was part of my conversation with Aurora Lee, the founder of the Northern BC Human Trafficking Coalition. The coalition is still seeking members from professionals, service providers, and community members whose work intersects with trafficking, exploitation, or those at risk. And if you want to get involved, you can email Aurora at endhumantraffickinginthenorth@gmail.com. And the number to call if you see suspicious activity is the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline at 1-833-900-1010. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.